Welcome to Curators. This week, maintaining positivity in negative times. The questions this cast answers are, how can I stay positive at work when the situation is bad? Why is it important to stay positive when the situation is bad? And what can I do to stay positive when the situation is bad?
Are you stumped finding a gift for a young professional in your life? Even trickier? Due to COVID, you'll not be seeing this person over the holidays. Consider gifting them attendance at one of our upcoming virtual conferences. You can buy the virtual EMC, ECC, EHMC, or remote manager conferences and assign them via email to others in your life. Give the gift of effectiveness at manager-tools.com/training.
Sarah, it's now October 2020 as we record this, and I think we're in month 7, 8 of the COVID crisis, and I have to say normal seems like it's further away, not closer.
Yeah, it's like, not getting closer.
Normal doesn't seem to be any more approachable. And staying positive is difficult. It's difficult for all of us. But there's other situations. This is just I'll say it's unique. It probably isn't. There's like 50 other examples that are like this. But difficult situations can range from something that's personal and is just affecting you to a global pandemic. Sometimes it's a project behind schedule. Sometimes the company loses a big customer. Sometimes one of your team members is sick or worse than that. One of your colleagues is sick or worse than that. Sometimes it's a big mistake comes to light and you're just like, oh my gosh. Not that you were hiding it, but you know, you never knew it was there. And then you find it and you just think, oh.
Right. Now it's going to keep me up at night to worry.
Yeah. Like, what else have I forgotten? What else is hiding?
Mm-hmm.
But the strategy we're going to recommend to use to stay positive is the same, whether it's something that's just affecting you or a global pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So the outline of our cast today, we're going to discuss or start by discussing activity, 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 keeping busy. Then we'll discuss circle of concern versus circle of influence, how to maintain relationships, and then taking care of your body and your mind.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah, sounds easy, right?
Sounds easy.
So the first one is activity, activity, activity. The antidote to fear and anxiety and negative stress is activity. It doesn't really matter what is causing those feelings, whether it's a difficult conversation with a colleague that you've just had or a global pandemic. Activity is the antidote. It makes a difference in the state of the situation, and it also makes a difference in the way that you feel. So, you know, you can't necessarily solve the pandemic yourself unless you're researching cures, in which case, please work faster.
please hurry. We need you.
But, you know, if you have a difficult conversation with your colleague, and you put the phone down and you're, you know, oh, that was horrible. And it's hard because we can't see each other, or, it's hard because, you know, I know something's going on with them and they're not normally like that. Or maybe it was me that had a rough day.
Yeah.
Picking up the phone, even if you have to leave a message because they don't answer, and saying, I'm really sorry.
Right.
I didn't want the conversation to go that way. I regret that it went that way. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry that I was so short. Or I'm sorry that I brought this up at the wrong time of day. But, you know, just taking the action, even if you don't know whether they've picked up that message, even if you don't know whether they forgive you or not, it doesn't matter. The action helps.
Yeah. Gets it off your chest instead of sitting around stewing.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you feel better.
You know, and how many times have we been told to wash our hands in the last 7 months, 8 months? A million. Because washing your hands kills germs and kills the bacteria. No, what are they? Viruses and bacteria are different. Please don't write to me about all the things I'm
right.
saying
what makes them different
about this virus. But I do know that they are surrounded by a little thing of fat, and if you use soap on it, it kills them. You know, and
washes them away.
Wash your hands when you come into the house. Wash your hands before you leave. Wash your hands in between. It's activity, it's not a big thing. It's not a huge, you know, it's not curing anything, but it's keeping you safer than you would be had you not done it.
Absolutely.
And you kind of feel better. It's like, what are the things that I can do? How can I keep myself safe?
Exactly.
I'll wash my hands.
I'll apologize when I misspeak. Exactly. Getting it out of the way, not sitting around, not concerning yourself with it. By going about small activities like this, guys, you can behave yourself into new feelings by just taking action, by taking charge. At the beginning of the spiral, activity is relatively easy to conceive and start, right? If you're not deeply into this state of negativity where you're so down in the depths, you can't pull yourself out. At the beginning, you can pull yourself out relatively quickly. If you've been, though, in your negative state for a while, it's much harder to see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? It's difficult to think yourself out of the corner in which you've painted yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind your thinking of ways to pull yourself out of it by yourself, right? I know, to tell you honestly, Wendy, I wish you would have written this cast months ago. I mean, I could have used this months ago. I mean, how many?
Yeah, I mean,
how many times, guys?
There's been days when, not recently, but there's been days when I haven't been able to make a cup of coffee because I cannot in my head think through the steps of making a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. And so it's better if you've got to it early. But if you haven't, it's the tiniest actions that start the positivity spiral. It can be answering one email. And the thing about it is you can open the email and you say, okay, the next email I open, I am going to answer no matter what. I'm not going to do anything else until I answer. And if it takes you an hour to answer it, you still answered that email. And, you know, if things are terrible, that can be a big accomplishment. If things aren't terrible and you go into your email inbox and you see 20 emails, sometimes it's, I'm just going to delete the trash. Or sometimes it's, I'm going to do the easy ones, or I'll do two of the hard ones, or whatever. It doesn't matter, but set yourself, you know, the tiniest target and then do it. And the next target needs to be only a little less tiny, but that starts the positive spiral.
Exactly. Guys, procrastination is human nature.
Mm-hmm.
People are real good at procrastinating, and you might look at that overgrowing inbox or those things that you need to address and be beating yourself up for not having done things that you know that you should have done, right? But the action that you take, no matter how, I want to say by dictionary definition, insignificant or small, answering that one piece of email or emptying your trash or whatever those small behaviors are, can begin your positivity spiral. Right now, let's be clear, guys, those small little steps, the answering an email, the cleaning your trash, it's not going to pull your failing project back on track. It's not going to cure a pandemic, for example. It's not going to do those things. But at the same time, it's not going to do nothing either.
Right. And if you do nothing, then nothing's going to change.
Guaranteed.
Right? Right? If you do a small thing, maybe.
Right. Exactly. Doing something little will show you that you can be successful. It'll cause future action, future excitement. It'll get that ball rolling to activity, and that will lead to more.
It gets you out of your head as well.
Yeah.
And Mark would say this is a bit woo-woo, that we're talking about the way you might feel, and
yeah,
he would talk about behavior, because how you feel doesn't matter. It's about what you're doing. And that's why activity is a good thing, a good solution at work, because it's what you're doing, which you're being paid for. But also, if you're struggling with repetitive thoughts or negative thoughts or all of that stuff, doing something gets you a little bit out of your head. And the more you do, the more out of your head you get. So now we'll go back to practical things.
Exactly. All right. So now let's discuss a little bit the circle of influence and circle of concern. So I think probably lots of people listening to this are probably familiar with Stephen Covey. Now, Stephen Covey invented a model that helps us take action when we're struggling. That is, he says that there are two circles inside of one another. So envision that, two circles inside one another. The larger outer circle is our circle of concern. That is, it encompasses all of the things that we worry about, right? We concern ourselves with, from a single email to the state of world peace. All of the things we worry about are in our outer circle. Now, there is another circle, the smaller inner circle, which, so you know, Stephen Covey considers quite small, is our circle of influence. That is, these are the concerns within our control that we have influence over.
And proactive people, Covey says, focus their efforts on the inner circle, the things they have influence over, the things that they can do something about. And reactive people focus on the outer circle, the things they don't have any control over. A single email in your inbox is something you have control over. You can answer that. You could delete it. You can delay it. You can reply to it. You can file it. You can give it to someone else. You can decide to leave it there. But you don't have any influence over world peace, apart from, you know, when you go out, don't start a fight.
Yeah, be kind.
Yeah, because that little deciding whether or not you're going to throw a punch when you go to Target, that's your little contribution. That's your circle of influence on world peace. So what he tells us to do is concentrate on the things that we have influence over and to stop worrying about all of the things that are in the worry circle, the circle of concern, because you literally can't do something about them. It's like if you think about the economy, none of us can do anything about the economy. The economy does what the economy does. And you can worry about it, but it won't do you any good. Far better to build up an emergency fund, contact people in your network, update your resume, you know, a bunch of things that you actually have influence over. Yeah, a bunch of things that you have influence over. And if the economy crashes and you lose your job, then at least you've got some, you've done something towards making that a better circumstance for you. If you can predict what's happening, going to happen to the economy, then you're a better person than I am.
Yeah, exactly.
And worrying about it won't help. But there is action you can take if you think about your circle of influence.
Now, all that said, guys, and we know ourselves that in a negative frame of mind, you can easily see the flaw in the argument, right? If you only take action on the things you have influence over, how's that going to save your project that you're only a part of, not the manager of? Or a company that's going under, or get us world peace? Well, it's not. It's just that simple. But being concerned and taking no action, as we said just a moment ago, that's not going to help you either. Taking some action, even though it's small, will at least make you feel better. And this goes back to Wendy mentioning, it's a bit woo, it's a bit, these are your feelings. And your feelings shape your behavior. If you feel better, then you're more creative. You're able to think outside the box. You can find solutions. You're more agreeable and pleasant to be around and work with and live with. So at the end of the day, if the project dies, right? Like if it completely fails, it doesn't work, so be it. At least you pulled your weight. You did your contribution. You tried your best on your part of the project to make it as successful as you can. And that's all that really can be asked of you.
And while you're trying to do some small actions to get you out of whatever pit you find yourself in, just ignore the media. The media is set up to give you bad news, right? It's not a failure of the media that it gives you bad news. That's how it's set
up.
Its purpose is to give you bad news, essentially. And it will make you feel worse about the things that are in your circle of concern, and it will not make you feel better about the things that are in your circle of influence. If world peace breaks out, you will hear about it.
Oh, yeah, you'll get the news. You'll get the news.
Like, don't watch the 24-hour news waiting for it to happen. I know 7 months ago, I was like, okay, what's the stats in every state? And what are the stats in all the countries? And what are all the countries doing about it?
Watch the press conference.
And what's the different levels of isolation that people are supposed to be in. And right now, I know what the status of San Antonio is, and I know what the status of the place where my parents live is. And I have stopped looking at anything else because it just drove me crazy. There's no way I could keep up. There's no way I understood what was happening. And it didn't help me or anyone else to know all of that stuff.
Exactly. And I know, guys, I mean, I'm telling you, I truly needed this advice a couple of months ago. I really, really did. I have a habit of every Saturday morning when the house is quiet, I get up and I scroll around in the news, right? I catch up on the things that I missed out on over the week because I was busy and I was working. And I assure you, when every Saturday morning starts off paying attention to the current news cycle in which we live, it does not set you up for success, right?
No, it is. I mean, people keep saying to me, oh, the election is the end of October and the election's coming up soon. Well, I can't vote because I'm not entitled to because of my status.
Yep.
And so I have absolutely zero effect on the election. All that a single individual can do is vote themselves. I can't even do that. And that's okay with me. Nobody needs to feel bad for me. I chose that. But you know, reading reams and reams and reams of pages about what's happening and who said what and why and
what are the polls? What are the
What does it matter to me what some guy in Wisconsin thinks? The only person that I can affect is my own. And there's plenty of people who are into the political news. They're really interested in it. They find it fascinating, or they're in that industry, or somehow it does affect them. In which case, that is in your circle of influence. If there's things where you're directly related to it. So I'm not saying that nobody should ever read the political news. If it's interesting to you or if it's affecting you, then go for it. But if all it does is wind you up and the only person over whose vote you have influence is your own, then just stop watching it and you will feel better.
No, exactly. Yeah, we'll get here. We'll get there in these show notes, guys. We're on our way. Talking about your hobbies, do them. If that's your hobby, do it. And
no doubt you'll find out who wins the election, whether or not you watch the news.
You won't miss it. They'll let you know. So the next section then in our show notes is maintaining your relationships. Guys, tell your friends that you're struggling. I'm kind of going through something over here, guys. Don't wait until they see the cracks in the foundation. Don't wait until you're drowning to tell them that the water is up to your knees, right? Tell them when you know that it's coming, right? You know, usually in advance, that there is a level of concern. No one gets through life, guys, unscathed, right? We all go through stuff sometimes. We all struggle occasionally. There can be no life without ups and downs. If you're going through that, everyone you know, in fact, everyone you've ever met or seen on TV or all of the other human beings have gone through experiences like that. So don't bottle it up and not share it with people. Tell your friends. And when you start opening up to other people, it's so much easier for them to help you. I mean, especially for some of us, it depends on your communication style. Mm-hmm. Guys, high D over here. I pretend until I can no longer pretend anymore that everything's okay and I'm totally fine and it's all good.
Right.
Until
just
I break.
Like me. I'm a high D too, so we're agreeing with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, tell people, like, I kind of need some help here. Like, I'm going through something. Can you help me? Reach out. Ask your friends. Your professional colleagues for their input as well. What should I do? It's really rare to find the answer to a problem you can't solve inside your own head.
If you already can't solve it, then the solution is not in your head.
No. You've been worrying about it for how long? Rolling it around in there by itself independently. You have proof will not deliver you a good answer, a way to resolve the problem. So share it with others.
And sometimes if you try and explain a situation to someone else outside of yourself, it could be one of your colleagues, it could be someone in the company, it could be someone completely unrelated. Some of their ideas are going to be obviously wrong. Like, that's not going to work.
That's never going to work.
Especially if you're asking about something that's not in someone's area of expertise. But sometimes having to explain why it won't work can help you explain or get to a new idea that will work. And so don't discount telling someone who you don't think will understand. The fact that you have to break it down into simple steps and explain what's going on sometimes helps, even if that person, you know, isn't an expert in code. But if you say, okay, the code's doing this, and then it's doing this and doing this, and they say, well, is it doing that? And you say, well, no, it's not supposed to do that. But you know what? It's supposed to do the other, and it's not. You know, so sometimes it helps to have to explain it out loud. And sometimes what you hear and what they suggest is something where you think in your own head, you go, I don't want to do that. And if you get an instinctive reaction of, I don't want to do that, you know, if somebody says, oh, you have to, I think you should apologize, or I think you should, you know, communicate more often, or I think you should get into work earlier. A lot of the time, you go, I don't want to do that. If it's one of those instinctive things, ask yourself again, because sometimes what we don't want to do is what we should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't just jump on it right away. Nope, not going to do it. Think about it. Like, truly think about it. All right. Now, guys, additionally, what helps with sharing this kind of information or asking for this kind of input from our friends and colleagues is that it also provides accountability if we're struggling to take action. Having someone to report to or go to the gym with, work out with, right? Having someone to just cheer for you a little bit, right? A little bit rah-rah, when you do something that's hard and difficult is excellent motivation. The analogy I like to use for this is when we're going on a diet, we have an option. We can tell all our friends we've chosen to cut calories, or we can keep it inside. When you keep it inside, you let yourself eat French fries every single time. You're eating French fries all the time. It doesn't matter. No one's going to call you out on it. Just eat the French fries. I mean, you can't make those at home. But if you told everybody you're trying to cut calories, someone you love and respect is going to say, your diet, hey? And now you might think twice and order a salad instead. I mean, the accountability helps you in the absence of your being able to take action. It prompts the action.
And that person doesn't even need to know that this is a problem for you or that it's something you're struggling with. I sent somebody an email this morning that said, this will be done by the end of business and I don't want to do it. And I now have 4.5 hours to do it because I told someone I was going to do it. And that person doesn't know that I don't want to do that task. They just know that they're getting it by 5.
Yeah.
So you can con yourself into doing all sorts of things.
For sure.
The next one is take care of body and mind. And this is the most disappointing thing in my entire life, which is that being more healthy or better in your mind or more productive or any of the good things never, ever comes with chocolate, crisps.
I know.
More television. Worst. Like, why is the cure never chocolate?
Sit on my sofa.
It never is, right? Yeah. So eat well, exercise. Set good conditions for sleep, you know, all of the usual. Healthy mind in a sound body, as they said in Italian. No, in Latin, even. And don't be afraid to ask for professional help if you need it. Ask for my recommendation for several therapists. Sometimes a single session with the therapist can be really enlightening. It's weird when you hear yourself say something out loud in answer to a question, and you think that's the stupidest thing anybody has ever said.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe
that. Just said it. You're like, I can't believe that I believed that.
I can't believe I believed that. It's perfect.
A second ago. It's weird. And the other thing I can't understand about therapy is how it works. You go in a room, you talk, you come out, you feel better. Like, and nothing happened. You didn't do anything. They didn't give you any answers, but just somehow saying it out loud helped. All right. And sometimes 6 to 12 sessions, like, that's all you need. Like, going to a therapist isn't like, oh, I'm going to go 3 times a week for the rest of my life, which is what happens in the movies always.
Right, always.
Like, 1 session, 6 sessions, 12 sessions, that's enough. It's not a lifelong commitment to insanity.
Right.
And no one wants to take medication for anything. That's okay. But sometimes it's enough to get you moving in a self-sustaining, you know, it's enough to get the ball rolling and then you can do it yourself. So if you need medication, if you need therapy, if you need external help, if you need a coach, if you need someone to help you with your productivity, if you need someone to help you with writing or whatever it is that you're struggling with, if you need to go on a course to be a better coder, then take the help.
Absolutely. Professional help could mean your executive coaches, right? Maybe you just need someone to help you get moving, personal trainer, right? Or there's so many apps out there now for like exercise, like 5-minute workout or like yoga apps, things like that. There's videos. I know lots of people now especially are missing connection. So connect with people, right? Make sure that you have others around you. Making sure, I should say, we talked about exercise, et cetera. Make sure you're getting the food you need, right? There's so many additionally food delivery services now.
Healthy food delivery services.
Healthy,
right?
Food delivery services. Exactly.
Wouldn't we chop them?
Make sure you get the vitamins you need. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. As we head into the new year, Manager Tools is thankful that our work is such that we can continue to add value and support managers and professionals around the globe. In our tenure since inception 15 years ago, this has been the most pivotal for change in our mindset regarding our products and services. We've re-engineered all of our client standard training days to be delivered virtually and broken up into digestible sessions where learning is relevant and dialogue exchange encouraged. We practice with every virtual attendee. Adults learn behavior by doing, and that element is critical. If your workforce is going to be remote through the first half of 2021, or if your organization is international or geographically dispersed, you may want to consider our virtual options. For more details about schedules, pricing, and protocols, contact Maggie at manager-tools.com or visit our website, manager-tools.com/organizations. All right. So now, let's go into some examples next, Wendy.
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that this wasn't too general,
yeah,
and to give you some more specific examples. So we've got three examples and they follow the pattern that we've just discussed. So there's activity, circle of influence, circle of concern, maintaining relationships, and healthy body and mind. So for example, I talked just now about economic downturns, right? If you think there might be an economic downturn or if one has already happened, then cut costs and save money at home. Update your resume in case you're laid off. Warm up your network in case you're laid off or can help other people. In your circle of influence is doing your job well and keeping your customers happy. And that keeps revenue coming into your company, hopefully. And if it doesn't, then it's probably not just down to you. But if you're doing this, you're doing what's under your influence,
yes,
around keeping your customers happy and doing your job well, then you're doing your best and that's okay. In your circle of concern, things you're worried about but can't do anything about are the state of the economy, your company's situation, assuming that it's not your own company. But, you know, if you work for a company, you can't influence the whole company. You can only do something about the relationship your company has through you with your customers. To maintain relationships, warm up your network in case you lose your job. Warm up your network so that you've got people to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, like how many of us just want someone to say, you know what, I'm in sales too and COVID sucks, right? It sucks for all of us. So with relationships comes someone to talk to. And then the last one is taking care of body and mind. So eating well, exercising, doing all the things that everybody tells us we should do, gives us the energy to deal with the situations and to do things, right? If you're not eating right and sleeping right and all that stuff, it's hard to treat customers well.
Right, when you feel lousy.
When you're tired and grouchy and they ask for one more thing, you're just going to snap. Whereas if you're well rested and feeling healthy, right, then it's probably easier to go, you know, like, okay, we can work this out.
Exactly. Absolutely. All right. So another example then. We talked a little bit about a failing project. So you got a project, you're struggling with it, and it's doing poorly. The actions you can take are ensuring you have a complete task list, right? Status, due dates for every single task laid out clearly. You can create a plan to complete your next red tasks, right? The things that are a little bit off the rails, an action plan to bring them back on. Those are the actions you can take. Within your circle of influence is focusing on the tasks that you're responsible for first. Beyond those tasks, then, is helping others with the tasks that they've got that may be overdue. Now, additionally, within, again, your circle of concern, outside of your control is the project's failure. We mentioned it's not necessarily going to come down to just you, just one person. So the project's failure and your company's situation, assuming it's not your company, right? Those things are outside of your control. Now, additionally, we recommend you maintain relationships. So work on your relationships with the people in the project, right? Reach out to them more often, touch base, communicate, work on the relationships you've got with your customers. Good relationships are going to mitigate those late tasks to some degree, right? That communication, that talking to people and letting them know in advance, hey, I think we might miss this deadline, will help with your relationship, and your relationship will allow you a little bit of forgiveness in the lateness. And then in terms of taking care of your body and mind, eating well and exercising, again, to give you the energy you need to fulfill all those things, the better mood, the all of the things that comes with taking care of yourself.
So our last example is a bad relationship with your boss. So the first action to take is to establish what your boss's goals are. And that doesn't mean go and ask him.
No,
or
it
her,
doesn't.
Right? If you've already got a bad relationship, going and asking things you should already know is not helpful. Mm-mm. So think about it. You are probably going to be 80% right. If you think about what's important to my boss, what does he ask for? What winds him up?
Right.
What does his boss ask him for? What things are on my performance review? Yep. All of those things will inform you as to what your goals are or what your boss's goals are. And then arrange your work so that you do those things first. So start doing the things that matter most to your boss first. And probably, if you've got a bad relationship, they're not the things you want to be doing.
Right, likely.
You know, mm-hmm. And you can't let your customers down, right? So you got to balance what your boss wants, yes, and your customers want. But there's usually a bunch of stuff that all of us do that doesn't fit in either,
yeah,
of those,
exactly,
things. You know, like I like playing with a good spreadsheet. So if somebody calls me and says, hey, Wendy, can you fix my spreadsheet? Or can you tell me how to fix my spreadsheet? I'll be like, oh, listen,
yeah,
to me.
100%,
and an
I
hour
it
later, I'm still playing with that spreadsheet, right? And my boss doesn't want me doing that. So think about those things. And it's not forever. You just have to get back on an even keel. And
yeah,
then you probably have some time to play with spreadsheets. It's about taking action on the things that that person thinks is important. Because the moment those things start to be better, your relationship magically improves.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's like someone saying, I really wish my husband would come home every day from work at 5 o'clock. And if the husband starts coming home every day at 5 o'clock and he still leaves his socks by the laundry hamper,
mm-hmm,
the fact that being home at 5 is what really mattered, it means the socks don't matter as much.
Exactly.
The next thing is circle of influence. Again, focus on the things that you can do. Don't try and think you're going to like create a new strategy for the company and blow his socks off. Don't think that you're going to do something that is completely out of your remit and blow him away with your magic idea, because it's not going to help you. He'll just say, well, why didn't you do these 10 things that I really care about?
Exactly.
Do those things first. Don't worry. Out of your influence is whether or not that person fires you.
Yep.
Right? Even though that sounds really weird, because
weird.
like doing my job is what stops them firing me. No, that's not what stops them firing you. Often, lots of people will tell you stories where they got fired anyway, or they, yep, didn't get fired anyway. Just do the best you can and don't worry about if they're going to fire you or not. You know, save your money, get your resume,
exactly,
ready, warm your network up, all of those things that you can do something about, but don't focus on, is this person going to fire me? Because
yes,
that thought takes you down the negative spiral.
Absolutely.
And then maintain relationships. Think about your boss's DISC style and, mm-hmm, communicate in that style. I sent an email today and somebody said, I really like these emails. And I thought, well, that makes one of us.
Exactly.
Because I don't like sending them, but they work. So I'm going to carry on sending them. If you're somewhere else, support your boss. So if you're in a meeting and your boss says, we're going to do X and Y and Z, say, yep, we are. Don't argue. Don't say, I think that's a stupid idea, or push back, or you know, flavor of the month, all of that stuff. Support them verbally. Oh, good idea. I like that. And then take care of your body and mind. Like, what someone else does and feels is not in your control.
Yeah.
If it were, we'd all have perfect marriages.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the one person that we say we're closest to, the one person that means the most to us is our spouse. The one person where we would say, oh yeah, you know, this is the perfect relationship, and you still can't make that person happy.
Yes, exactly. Right?
So don't try. Because if you can't make it with your wife or your husband or your spouse, then you certainly can't influence your boss. So don't worry about what they're thinking and feeling. Do the work, do the activity, communicate, and do your best.
100%. So that takes us then to the last part of our guidance. That is, help others. Now, if you guys have been listening this entire time and you got to the end of this and thought, no, I'm good. Or that you've made multiple strides in managing your own positivity, then congratulations. And it's time to help other people as well. Others can be the action, in fact, that begins your positive spiral. That is, we talked at the very, very beginning about take action. Action, action, action. Do something. That something can be, we mentioned cleaning your trash. That something can be doing an email. That something can be reaching out to a coworker or a friend and asking, how can I help? Or do you need help? Right? Asking other individuals whether or not they need support, because guys, as we mentioned, you know the year we're in. It's been a tough year for everybody. And even though you're listening to our guidance and you're going to not be prideful and ask for help if you need it, that doesn't mean that everyone gets to that same point at the same time. So offering help.
That does seem to have been the case, right? That everybody is having their ups and downs and
absolutely,
they don't all happen at the same time. And different people's drivers of whether I feel good or not is different. And so if you're feeling good, awesome. Help someone else.
Exactly. Pay it forward.
And if you're not, then reach out.
Exactly.
If you take away one thing from this, it's activity is the antidote to all of those negative things. Do something. It almost doesn't matter what you do, as long as you do something. You've listened to this podcast, so well done.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations. we send you a virtual gold star. And now do one more thing.
Exactly.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with something new. Bye, everyone.